Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4 as we continue our study in the book of Philippians, and we come toward the end of this chapter. The Apostle Paul is now in his concluding remarks to the Philippians, saying some wonderful things about the Philippians, and he gives us a window to their souls. He shows us the kindness and generosity on the part of the Philippians. Beginning with verse 10, and these are verses that are frequently misunderstood and misapplied. Beautiful teaching about what grace is able to do in the life of a Christian. Verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last, your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I'm full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So here we see something very, very beautiful as you look at the giver, and the givers here are the Philippians. And then we have the receiver and his response and attitude, and that's the Apostle Paul. And here we have how grace works on the part of the giver and on the part of the receiver. And you're going to see both responses here, both grace attitudes. Beginning with verse 10, Paul speaks about the genuine care of the givers, the genuine care that the Philippians had for the Apostle Paul. Verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again," flourished, blossomed like a beautiful flower. And he uses the word again, because this is not the first time that the Philippians were generous, caring toward the Apostle Paul. Now, interesting that the Apostle Paul, now the recipient, says that he rejoiced greatly in the Lord. And so that's his attitude. As he saw these generous Philippians giving to his needs, he rejoiced in the work that the Lord had done in the lives of the Philippians. Ultimately, it is God who is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He saw ultimately God at work in the hearts and lives of the Philippians. So verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also," and the word careful is really full of care. You were full of care, but you lacked opportunity. Here are the Philippians. Just giving. Just seeing a need and giving sacrificially to the work of the ministry, the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul and his needs. And when they had opportunity, they would give. When they saw the need, their hearts were moved to contribute to his needs. Now we have here two clear insights into the heart of the giver and the heart of the recipient as well. And it would do well for us to learn what grace looks like in giving and receiving. So he says, but you lacked opportunity. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect to want. He says, I'm not talking about my needs, not my want. And it seems like he's almost apologetic in speaking about himself, because in no way does the Apostle Paul want to give the impression, and you'll see that through these verses, in no way does the Apostle Paul want to give the impression that he's bringing up their gifts and what they've given to him in order to get them to give more. He was always very, very careful as a recipient of gifts that he never put anybody enslaved to him or indebted to him. He never said things in order to flatter people so that they would give. He never said things in order to coax them or manipulate them to give. And yet, unfortunately, a lot of that goes on in Christian circles, because we use God's blessings, we use the things that others have done, we bring it up hoping that somebody will give more to us. Paul will have nothing to do with that. As you'll see here, he's almost apologetic for bringing this up, but he does it for a purpose, to minister to the Philippians. Not that I speak in respect of want. He says, for I, as the receiver, I have learned. Now, when you learn something, it's something you didn't know before, but somehow you did learn it. And so the Apostle Paul, through the grace of God, has learned a very, very valuable lesson, which he tells us what it is. Verse 11, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, whatever the conditions, whatever the circumstances, I have learned to be content. And we would do well to learn how to be content. Whatever the state, this is something that didn't come natural to the Apostle Paul. The grace of God taught that to him. And whatever state I am, he said, I have learned to be content. Contentment. Total satisfaction. Complete understanding of God's provisions for us. And whether Paul was humiliated or whether he was respected and held in high regard, he learned to be content. Because he says in verse 11, in those circumstances, there's one thread that runs through the circumstances, which is undisturbed and unwavering. Whatever state I am, the one thread is, I'm content, no matter what the circumstances. He says in verse 12, I know both how to be abased. I know how to be abased. I know how to be dragged down. I know how to be beaten up. I know how to be humiliated. I know how to be stoned. I know how to be treaded upon. I know what that's like, Paul says. But he says, knowing that, and in those circumstances, there's something I've learned that grace has taught me. I've learned to be content. when I'm abased, humiliated, when I'm in desperate need, I almost despaired of life itself, he said. I've learned how to be content. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know also how to abound. And so when I'm abounding, when things are going very well, when there appear to be no special needs, and when I'm in desperate need, the one common thread is I've learned to be content in whatever state I am. This gets pretty practical, doesn't it? Because it's where the rubber meets the road. It's where we live. All kinds of difficulties and circumstances and abased and abound. I've learned to be content in those states. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. He says everywhere and in all things, everywhere. So this is kind of all-inclusive, isn't it? Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. Who instructs him? God does. God's grace instructs the Apostle Paul. And that instruction is what caused him to respond positively to it and to be able to tell us, I've learned that. I have learned how to be content in whatever state I am. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. And in all things, those are the all things. Full and hungry. And the Apostle Paul experienced all of those circumstances. There were times when he abounded. There were times when he was flourishing. There were times when the ministry seemed to be going so well, so many people responding. And he delighted in the Philippians especially. He delighted in the Ephesians. He said, I'm full, but then there are times when I've been hungry. I didn't know where the next meal would come from. I had nothing. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and the opposite, suffer need. And so when I'm abounding and when I'm suffering need, I'm instructed by the grace of God, and I have learned to be content in all circumstances, in whatever circumstances I am. That's a distinguishing mark of a grace believer, where the grace of God is at work in our lives, is there's a basic, fundamental contentment. It's not, I'm always looking for more. I'm always desirous of more. If people could just give me a chance, if people would just contribute to me, I'll be okay. Not the Apostle Paul. And so I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And in that context, in this context of being abased and abounding, of being full and being hungry, having need and lack thereof. He says in that context, he says, I can do all things. How? Through Christ. Through Christ. It is always Christ. It is Christ who strengthens me. You see, when the life of Christ is really real in your life, then you're able to go through whatever circumstances and have a basic fundamental contentment in whatever circumstances. doesn't mean that we don't experience sadness. It doesn't mean that we cannot be joyful at the same time as experiencing sadness. There's sorrow, there's pain, there's disappointment, there's concern for people. But basically, in his heart of hearts, the Apostle Paul, who experienced great suffering and great disappointments, he was burdened for the churches. He, in fact, talks about all of the physical and emotional suffering that he endured. And then he says, once listing all those things, he says, above that, above all, the burden, the care for the churches, the people, Christians, that they would live the Christian life. But in all of that care, in all of that burden, in all of that concern, Paul had learned that whatever the circumstances, to be content. And his strength and provision came from the life of Christ within. I can do all things through Christ. He is the one that gives me the strength. He is the one that gives me the instruction. And from him, I learn this kind of a grace response and grace attitude. The Apostle Paul knew what it meant to live the Christian life and allowing the Christ life to live in and through him. He saw himself as crucified with Christ. He says, yet I live in the flesh, but the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me and who strengthens me to live the Christian life the way I ought to. It's a totally different life with a totally different response to circumstances and to people. Totally different life. It's a supernatural enablement. This is where God intervenes with your flesh, with your old sin nature, giving you the power through the new nature within, through the indwelling spirit, and through the grace of God, to live life in a whole new dimension. And that is the Christian life. So Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And the context, of course, is these circumstances. It's being abased and abounding, being hungry and being full, having my needs supplied for and provided for, and being in need. I have learned through Christ that he is the one that gives me the strength, the enablement to live life in this whole new dimension. Now he speaks again to the Philippians. He says in verse 14, he says, notwithstanding, he says, you have done well. He compliments them for a genuine, legitimate concern that they had and for their generosity to the Apostle Paul. Verse 14, then, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. The word communicate is koinonia. It's the word fellowship, that you have fellowshipped at the time, partnered with me at a time of affliction. You've done well. And he's not saying that so that they would be motivated to give more. No, he's telling them that the Christ life in them has worked well. Verse 15. This is interesting because the Apostle Paul makes crystal clear something here. He says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, No church, no group of believers, no assembly communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So you are the only ones, you're the only assembly that had this liberty, this freedom, this generosity. You're the only ones that communicated with regard to giving and receiving. You're the ones that did that. When the gospel first was proclaimed to you, you immediately responded, and you responded well. What's Paul referring to here? In verse 16, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again. So it's a consistent giving. It's regular giving. When they saw the need, when they had opportunity, they just kept sending gifts. And Paul, remember, uses the word again in verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again. Verse 15, you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. So Paul had need. He had necessity. Now, he didn't send out letters to the Philippians and to all the other churches that he's established and sent out what we call a prayer letter, which is really a letter to say how much need I have, hoping that somebody will give. And that is manipulation that God does not like. God is not happy when we go out and try to manipulate people into giving to our needs. Can't do it. It should not be, and it must not be, a part of the Christian's life. That's not what being strengthened by Christ means at all. So I know Paul didn't send out letters to the churches he's established to say, now, I'm running kind of low on funds, and the ministry here is going great, and a lot of people are believing, and a lot of people are being established. Don't you want to be a part of that ministry? Just send a gift. Does that sound familiar to you? It's very sad. It's very sad to see that kind of manipulation, that kind of appeal, because it's totally contrary to what grace does in the life of a believer. When Paul had need, there's two things that happened. One of two things. Number one, somehow these people, God did a work in their lives. And again, they said, you know, we're going to support his ministry. We're going to be generous. We're going to send gifts again and again. The other thing that happened when Paul had a need was what? He went out and worked with his hands. He was a tent maker. And night and day, Paul says, I taught you grace. And then in between night and day, I worked on tent making. Let's look at some passages. This is great to see. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at what Paul says, the first few verses. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Cross-reference, Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. He's talking about the Philippians. The Philippians, who in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, these were not people, these were not millionaires that were sending a little bit to the Apostle Paul. These were people that also experienced deep poverty. They abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear a record, yes, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, begging us, beseeching us, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. That's where their generosity and their giving heart came from. They gave themselves first to the Lord. That's where it starts. It's the Christ life. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace. Also, he's appealing to the Corinthians because there were people in need. There's a change of program. At the end of the kingdom program, which came to a stop, at the end of that program, people were selling their possessions and they were bringing them to the apostles' feet, the 12 apostles. And as a result, you know, expecting the kingdom to be introduced and understanding from the word of God that nobody would have any needs in the kingdom program. But there were some people that had need. So these people sold all their possessions. Nobody had any needs. Read Acts chapter 4. And now the kingdom program comes to a stop. And now here are people that sold their lands and sold their possessions and gave it away. Now suddenly they're in need. And the Philippians gave to their needs. The Corinthians also promised to give to their needs, but didn't follow through on their promise. And that's what the Apostle Paul is addressing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He said in verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you, Corinthians, the same grace also, the same grace that we saw in the Philippians. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. He said there are people in need because there's been a change in the program. You promised to give to those people and have not followed through on your promise. That's the appeal here. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. He's holding the Corinthians to account. There are people in need. A year ago, you promised that you would supply that need, that you would contribute to their need, and you haven't followed through. Why? Because of their carnality. It's easy to make a promise. It's easy to be willing to give. It's quite another thing to follow through. And that's what the Apostle Paul is appealing to here. Then in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul gives clear instruction as to what giving is like in this age of grace. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. Really? It's not the way it was under law. Every man as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Listen, financial giving is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. He says, as an individual purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. Do you know that in the Old Testament, under the law program, there was a necessity to give? They gave out of necessity. Now, hopefully, their hearts were right, and they gave it cheerfully, but they needed to give. God says to the nation of Israel in Malachi chapter 3, he says, you've robbed me. They say, how have we robbed you? They said, in tithes and offerings. You've not given what of necessity you need to give, you must give, and that's under law. Hopefully they do it cheerfully, but regardless, there was a necessity for them to give. And that's giving under law. Under grace, Paul says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I don't know what happened to Scrooge's heart, but Scrooge was a man that counted his pennies and that took advantage of his workers. And when he'd meet somebody on the street that was asking alms and begging for provisions, he scoffed at them and damned them for being beggars. Well, when his heart changed, he called in, what was his name, Cratchit? And he said, I'm going to give you a raise. When he before resented the fact that on the 25th of December that he wanted some time off, and he said, you probably want the whole day, don't you? So if you do, then the next work day, you come in a little early to make up for that. But then his heart was changed. He was willing to meet the needs of Mr. Cratchit's family. And he's dancing out in the streets, giving joyfully, cheerfully. Now, can't tell you that I believe that the grace of God did that, but it certainly proves as an example of somebody that was a grudge, somebody that was tight, somebody that hated and despised people and hated to part with one penny of the millions that he had. When his heart changed, a cheerful giver, somebody who just delighted, saw a need and just gave abundantly. And if Scrooge is able to do that, certainly we who have the grace of God, it should be obvious that we give cheerfully, not grudgingly. Oh, here comes the offering plate again. I don't want to be embarrassed, so here it goes. I just dropped something in the offering plate. Not grudgingly. Got to give my 10%. There's no percentage that God places on a grace believer. It says you purpose in your heart. If you don't purpose in your heart to give, don't give. Because if you do, then you're going to do it grudgingly enough of necessity. It's a matter of the heart. And that's what Paul says here. So back to Philippians chapter 4. Well, let's look at a couple of other verses, actually. Look at 2 Corinthians, let's stay in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9. Notice what Paul says, and when I was present with you and wanted and had need, I had needs. When I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things, I've kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. He said, as a minister of the gospel, as an apostle of the grace of God, he didn't want any negative reflection on the message and the ministry. He said, there's no way that I'm going to put you under a burden to meet my wants, my needs. I don't want that. I don't want to be chargeable to anybody. I don't want to be burdensome to anybody. And so I know that he didn't go around the churches raising support so that he could have a life. No, he supported himself. He worked, and there were times when, especially the Philippians, again and again, sent a gift, and he rejoiced in the Lord greatly. He gave God the glory for what God was doing in the lives and hearts of the Philippians. So back to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You're the only ones. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. And what was Paul's response? I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now here's Paul's heart. But not because I desire a gift. Now, getting rid of that motivation gets rid of a lot of money talk. Because we often talk about money hoping that somebody would give it. Paul says, not because I desire a gift. That's not why I'm talking about money. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Here's what I want. I want spiritual blessing, fruit, to your account, which is exactly what was happening when the Philippians saw the need and supported and gave, not grudgingly or of necessity, cheerfully gave to the needs of that ministry. He said, I'm not looking for a gift. I'm looking for something great to happen to you, your hearts. And that's why I'm bringing this up. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Not because I desire a gift. We just read from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 9, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because he's talking about physical labor. Why did they labor night and day? Because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. We didn't want money to be the issue. We weren't looking for your support. We wanted for you to hear the truth. And we refused to be chargeable to any of you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. That's the grace attitude. Not looking for money. Not looking for support. Not bringing up the subject in order that people would give. Because Paul wanted fruit in the lives of the Philippians who gave. So Paul says over here, he says, I don't desire a gift. That's not why I'm bringing this up. I want fruit to be manifested in your life. I want you to benefit. I desire fruit in your lives. And then he says, me, I'm full. I'm content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I have all and abound. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And then look at what he says about what they did. This is God's attitude toward the Philippians' giving. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. When that happens, I'll summarize it by saying God is pleased. When there's such grace as works in our lives, as we become givers, givers of our time, givers of ourselves, first of all, givers of our possessions, when we do it with this kind of a heart, this is a sweet aroma, sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Isn't that ultimately what we want our lives to be? Pleasing to God. In this most basic issue of giving. That's grace giving. Not of necessity, not grudgingly, cheerfully giving to the needs of others. Now, there's another group of people here that are not part of grace at work in their lives. A very wise person said to me one time, there's two kinds of people in this world. There's givers and there's takers. Givers and takers. Takers are the people that always want more. And you know what's true of takers? Takers pretend to rejoice in the Lord when they receive something. They use this as a way to manipulate to get more. They give lip service to rejoicing in the Lord. They're not able to say, I don't have want. I don't speak of want, because they're always pointing to how poor they are. They're always crying poor. Why do they do that to other people? They've not learned to be content, obviously, because they're always crying poor. They don't know how to be abased. They don't know how to abound. They don't know everywhere and in all things, learning how to be full and how to abound or how to suffer need. They give lip service to, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, would you please give me some more? They always speak of necessity. They always point to how poor they are, how much need they have. They always desire a gift, and they're never full. They always want more. This, in the heart of a person that doesn't have grace at work in them, those are takers. Learn to listen, because you'll hear takers. That's not the grace of God at work in people's lives. There's also, of course, giving under law, which is totally different. It's not just the tithe. It's not just giving out of necessity. It's conditional blessing. Give, and it shall be given to you. That's conditional blessing. Today, we don't give in order to receive. Today we give because we've received it all already. It's all ours out of gratitude and joy that we have infinite blessings that God has already bestowed upon us. And out of that infiniteness of blessing that we already have, we joyfully give and learn by the grace of God a basic contentment in whatever state we're in. In all things. To be content. And then Paul says, verse 18, I have all and abound. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then he says to the Philippians, pointing back to God, but my God shall supply all your need. Now, this is not a promise to supply all your physical needs or to supply all your health needs. It's not what God is promising. If that's what you're counting on, then you don't understand what God is doing today. God's healing program for the body of Christ is the rapture. Today, creation groans and we ourselves also groan, longing for the redemption of the body, longing for the rapture, God's healing program for the church. Today, we're in wheelchairs and walkers, glasses and limping and pains and aches. Well, don't you think God should heal us? He will. He will. When we get our new bodies, we're going to be able to see perfectly, hear perfectly, walk perfectly. No aches, no pains, no sneezes, no coughs. That'll all be gone. And so when Paul says here, but my God shall supply all your need, he's not talking about their financial needs. Because by grace we learn how to abound and how to be hungry. That's the truth of what is true of us today and in what God is doing today. We've got to learn in all things to be content. Because notice what Paul says in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. His riches in glory. Now, some Christians have said, you know, God has promised all of our need. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he could sell a few cattle and send me the money. They say that in jest, but they really believe that. That money is going to fall from heaven. You've got to judge circumstances by the word of God. If there's somebody claiming that money is coming and falling from heaven, then be careful. And very sincere Christians have all these stories. You've got to judge experience and human anecdotes by the solid truth of the Word of God. That's where we stand. Can't go by feelings. Can't go by human anecdotes. Our truth, our anchor, is the Word of God. And Paul says that God will supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The context here is his need. In 2 Corinthians, it was the need of believers in Judea. And God says, he promises that the spiritual need is what matters, the attitude, the heart. That which pleases God, a sweet smell, well-pleasing, a great sacrifice to God. And that's what really matters. The heart matters. And it is different than what God taught the nation of Israel. They were little children, never grew up to adulthood. Until there was the true sonship that Paul speaks about in Romans 8 and in Galatians chapter 4, where we have the adoption of sonship. We have everything. We don't have to wait to receive our inheritance till we grow up. We have an adult standing. We have it all of it given to us. In response to that, we live the Christian life out of gratitude. We don't forgive as Christ taught his disciples, forgive, and then my Father in heaven will forgive you. Because if you don't forgive others their trespasses, neither will my Father in heaven forgive yours. No, once you enter this age of grace, Paul says, be kind, tender-hearted toward one another, forgiving each other, as God in Christ has already forgiven you. We don't forgive in order to be forgiven. We forgive because we've already been forgiven. Out of gratitude for that. Just think of what God has forgiven you. Far more than any offense someone else may have thrust against you. Grace giving and grace receiving. Very important. Because that's what God does in the heart of the believer. It's a beautiful thing to see grace at work in every way.